I want to welcome everybody to another beautiful edition of Saturday AM Live. I know it's eventually going to be beautiful here in the Pacific Northwest once the rain finally stops and summer comes, you know, like in July or August. But today is going to be a beautiful day because we've got some bright Swedish sunshine coming our way from Jönköping. And it took me only, what, Anna, about 50 times to be able to pronounce that one word correctly. You know, and we won't even get started on the rest of my Swedish while I was there. But Anna, and Anna, I never did ask how to pronounce your last name, so I'm going to let you say that for the record.
It's very difficult even in Swedish. My name is Anna Björnle, and I know a lot of Swedish people that have some difficulties pronouncing that as well, so don't worry about that.
So I can take fault in that as well. But I had, a few weeks ago, I had the probably one of the best trips of my life, hosted by Anna and her wonderful family. And I came back from that trip going, you know, this is a person that needs to be shared with our North American group, who is the majority of the people on the call today, and they need to hear this story, because so many people around the world, you know, we used to say, based on Burke Hedges' book, you know, Who Stole the American Dream, we used to talk about people that were in pursuit of the American dream, in pursuit of, you know, a better life. And there's nothing wrong with that. However, in pursuit of that, there is always a price to be paid. There's sacrifices to be made along the way. And Anna, prior to NECAN, and we're just going to jump right into things here.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to NECAN, that was the story of your life. You decided, hey, I'm going to get out there and make a name for myself. And let's talk about that before we even get into how literally NECAN crossed paths or crossed your journey and literally saved your life, in my opinion. And that may be stretching the truth a bit, but I think that as you share, people will agree with me that NECAN did save your life. So take us back to you don't have to go through the whole childhood of Anna growing up in Jönköping from house to house.
No.
I had the privilege of seeing those different homes as we drove around. But take us back to, you know, when Anna's out of college and ready to make her mark, and where that took you.
Well, it started when I was about 18, 19, when you were about to start your life, sort of, getting a job and getting an education and all these things. And at that age, I knew I just didn't want all this usual stuff, you know, the house, the education, the job, the children and everything. I wanted something more, but I really didn't know what I wanted. But I started my life as most people. I got a job. I decided to go to university. I started, and after that I got a great job, actually, in Stockholm, which is the capital of Sweden, working for a construction company called Skanska, and they worked internationally, and that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to travel, I wanted to live abroad, so that was the goal. And of course, when it's a goal, you get it one way or the other. Isn't that right?
Well, when you decide to make a decision, and you know, as we talked about, and I know you'll share that, when you make the decision and you put it in front of you, it's going to happen. You're going to make sacrifices along the way, but if you really, really want something in life, the timing may be out of our control. However, you make that decision, it'll come to pass, and that's exactly what you did. So where, in Stockholm, so for the rest of our listeners will understand, much like any big city in any part of the world, that the lifestyle is different than more of the slower pace that some of us in the rural parts of the world get to enjoy. But you jumped right on into that, didn't you?
I did. It's a hectic lifestyle. I mean, people are rushing around. It's like all the bigger cities in the world. And Jönköping is a little bit smaller. It's about 100,000 people here. So it's a little different. I traveled a lot. I worked a lot. I was very ambitious, I think. And I also got a chance to work abroad. It took me to the third world countries like Laos, and I've been to Kenya and Tanzania in Africa and so on, and lived there for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And actually, it started after that when I got back to Stockholm again. I decided to change my position to another company, into the oil business, which is also very competitive. And the people are very competitive. At least they were in the company I worked for, and I believe it's the same in USA, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So I fill my calendar with meetings, and project meetings, and more meetings, board meetings, and there were also a lot of work to be done, and that I had to do in the evening after all the meetings had finished. So my calendar was filled from early morning to late afternoon, and then I had to work in front of the computer doing all the things I was supposed to do, as I was the business controller at this company at that time. So I spent a lot of hours in the evening and on Saturdays and Sundays, and I didn't feel very comfortable. I mean, I didn't like the life I had. I had no life. I was only working. I made all money, of course, but I never really enjoyed anything. It was always rushing around and trying to accomplish more and more and more, and I felt the pressure from myself. I felt the pressure from the company and so on. So I wasn't happy, and that I got into sleeping problems, serious sleeping problems. I was very, well, I was in stress, and I was rushing around, and in the evening I couldn't relax and I couldn't get a proper sleep. So it started slowly, and it got worse and worse and worse, and I think it was in 98 or 99, I had a peak. So then I slept maybe 2-3 hours per night. And I still worked a lot, and I drank a lot of coffee just to keep me awake. And, of course, my body was sort of falling apart. I wasn't feeling well at all. My heart was beating too fast, and I thought, maybe I'm getting a heart attack, or what is this? And
now, Anna, before you go any further, how do I properly say this? What age were you at when this is all going on? Because a lot of people may think that, well, that's so par for the course. You can survive, and... No,
yeah.
Well, most people would agree that you can't survive on 2-3 hours of sleep at night, but...
No, you can't. You can't.
So what,
no, I don't think anyone can, but at least not to function properly. But I was around 33, 34 years when this happened.
Early 30s, and you literally burning the candle at both ends. And what's interesting is you say that, I'm reminded of something that our President Doug Bond shared a few weeks ago, from meeting with a gentleman, and he was talking about trends.
Yes.
And those who are regular listeners to the call will remember sharing that literally the trend now, in exactly the same age category of people, not just in North America, but around the globe, are in their 20s and 30s, have literally figured out a way to maintain the competitive edge and live on less sleep than even what's suggested. I mean, we're talking exactly what you were doing, 2-3 hours a night, and exactly what you were doing to medicate yourself legally, surviving on coffee, and there's all kinds of other things that people do to maintain that, literally. But the problem is, as you're going to share, there's a downside to that.
Yes, of course it is. I mean, your memory is not so good, and I still feel that my memory is I forgot things, and it's like when 2 or 3 things happen at the same time, I can't deal with it still. So I had to take one thing at a time. At that point in my life, when this happened in 98 or 99, I was trying to deal with 20 things at the same time. But of course, that doesn't work. So, I've never relaxed at all. I remember I had 4 weeks vacation one summer, and I didn't do anything, but I couldn't relax. I couldn't get any rest in 4 weeks, even though I had vacation. Mm-hmm. So that was the point when I started to think, will I reach 40 if I continue this lifestyle?
Wow. Now, I'm curious, though, Anna, because this was, as I said before, the American dream is to you know, get out there and grab your passion and lay it all out on the line, even at the expense of certain areas. Did that start to waver? I mean, in your mind, because you were making good money, you were traveling the world. You, as you said, the lifestyle was, well, it started to, you know, fade from here, the goriness of it all. But, I mean, Stockholm, Sweden, and some of these other places where you were living and traveling to, this would be quite an exciting life, but I'm guessing that started the allurement of that, the fascination of all that, started to disappear when you realized that, hey, I may not make it till 40.
Yes, it did. It was also a very tough decision to make, because I enjoyed traveling. I enjoyed meeting all these new people and sharing their lifestyle and so on. But I wasn't comfortable with my work, with the situation, with my whole life. It felt like I was in a trap. I mean, it was a rat race, of course, and I was trying to accomplish more to get out of it. But as we know now, it doesn't work that way. So I made a decision. I remember it was in August 99 that I have to stop this and do something else, because I won't be 40 otherwise. So it was very hard to make the decision, because I, even though I wasn't feeling well, I was also enjoying the life, of course, in a strange way, I could say.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, was there a defining moment that you realized, okay, something's got to give here because I can't do this, or was it just a series of questions that you had to ask yourself that, okay, there's got to be something else out there?
It was when I visited my mother in Jönköping, which you can't pronounce, by the way. And I was visiting our summer house. It was a small summer house at that time. And I realized I didn't want to go back to Stockholm. So that was, it started that summer. I don't want to go back. I don't want to live there. I don't want to continue this life. But I didn't know what I was looking for. I was looking for something, but I didn't know what. But I made a decision. I quit my job. I didn't have a new job. I sold everything I had in Stockholm, and I moved back to Jönköping. And I was sick. I was really, really down when I came to Jönköping.
And when you say you were really, really sick, you were really down. I mean, what was life like for Anna at that point?
Trying to get some sleep, taking long walks, trying to recover. Trying to listen to tapes to get some inspirational information and so on, trying to get my heart to beat at a normal pace again, because it didn't. I didn't want to meet anybody at that time. I was sort of, I couldn't meet people. I was shy. I was.
Now, did you go to the doctor? Did you see any medical professional to find out what was wrong with you?
I did. And, of course, they wanted to give me some white pills, which I didn't like. I tried them for 3 months, and I decided, no, this is not me. I feel happy even though, well, I know I'm not feeling well. They took me into a state I didn't like. So I just thought I quit. I won't take these pills, and I would go through this sort of, it was a depression, a great depression, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I decided to go through that instead of using some medicines.
Tell us how Nikan entered the picture.
It entered the picture right after the millennium in 2000, in January 2000. I went with my mother. And by the way, she's now 76, and she's very healthy, and she doesn't eat any medications. And that's, of course, thanks to Nikan products, which is also a blessing for all of us, of course. She took me to her friend, and they showed me the sleeping system, and they gave me a rollout, and they were talking about all these wonderful things that could happen to these when you use the Nikan products. And I was listening, but I wasn't listening, if you can understand what I say and what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I could hear what they say, but I couldn't get it into my heart. My mother brought some insults because she had some problems with her knee and her, one of her feet. So she started to use the insults, and in a couple of weeks, all the pain was gone. And that was maybe 6-7 weeks after with this first meeting. And at this same time, I met another woman, and she introduced me to the whole picture, that the vision of Nick and the business opportunity, the product, the whole concept. Mm-hmm. And that really got me hooked, because I was looking for something to change my life, not only my health, but my whole life. I wanted to do something. I wanted to work with something else. I wanted to create something for the future. I wanted to have more time, and I wanted to be able to go for a walk in 11 o'clock in the morning or 9 o'clock in the morning instead of going to the office. So I was looking for something different. And she showed me the big picture of Nick, and that's when I decided, okay, this is something for me.
And you literally, you did not have, I mean, you weren't working a conventional job at the time. You literally were just, but you had said you'd sold everything, so you probably were okay for a bit. And did it start overnight for you? I mean, and I know the answer to that question.
Mm-hmm.
No, because it took a while, even once you got on the product, to actually correct what you had, or what your body had endured. And I think that's so true and applicable to so many times we come across people today that we're wanting a miracle overnight to get well physically and mentally. And sometimes it takes time, because we've spent decades of literally destroying our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And statistics don't lie, that more and more people are coming down with, well, some serious conditions that even in their 30s and 40s, that it takes time. Like you said, you can't just take a magic white pill and expect to get better without other things happening. So for you, when you were introduced to the products, how long did it take?
Well, it took quite a while. The first week on the sleeping systems, I had nightmares. I woke up sweaty and shaking and sort of. I was not feeling well at all these two first weeks. And then slowly, I was starting to recover. I got one more hour, and I got another hour the other month, and so on. After 6 months, I had a full night's sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So it took some time. And then it took another year and a half before I was feeling okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So
for me, it took some time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. a bit of time. Now, from that point, I'm sure during that point you started to notice small changes, and
yes.
You probably started sharing what you discovered with people that you came across their path, or people that you knew, or people that your mom knew. Did your business, because that's always a tough transition for some of us, that, you know, we've got this amazing company that we've aligned ourselves with that literally has changed our life. But then how did you take it to the next step of saying, okay, because you recognized that, hey, this is something I want to do. This is not what the life that I had before, but I can see that this is something about balance, the five pillars of health, a healthy mind, body, family, finances, and society. And at that time, because I never did ask you when Frederick entered the picture, your partner, and then came your beautiful daughter who... still, in my mind, I'll never forget. what was it that she said about me? That
she said, "I think Vance is very, very nice, but his speaks so strange."
So, just for the rest of us, for the record, the English language, literally according to some, is a strange thing.
Yeah,
it may be the way I speak it too, but that was part of the journey, but. At some point, you had to realize that, hey, this is what I want. How did you get started?
I got from the beginning. This was in March 2000. I got started by showing the products to my friends, my relatives, and some of them got product experiences in 5 minutes. And I was amazed by that. And that sort of, I never had any doubts about Nikken as a company. The products I had to learn a little bit more about, but I sort of trusted them from the beginning as well. But of course, we need to see what can happen and so on, and get some experience on products, references, and so on. And I got that. And I went to Silver in, I think it was in September, and this was still during the recovery. I still haven't gained my full night's sleep when I went to Silver, because I was sort of in this, I had this old lifestyle, you know, you have to do something, you have to.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. So I went to Silver and I did that, and that of course was good when I look back. But then it took me another year to recover fully, and I had really to learn about network marketing, because I didn't have any experience at all. I'd never learned anything about it when I went to university to study economics and business administration. They didn't mention a word about network marketing. So that was completely new. And I went to meetings every week just to get the knowledge how to do this and why I should do this and what can I do and so on. And I had the opportunity to meet a lot of the European leaders very early. I met the Royal Ambassador in Europe, Wolfgang Sonnenberg, at my first meeting. So that was also something that gave me the big picture from the very beginning. And then I had good support from my upline in Sweden. So, but it was a learning process.
Okay.
And it still is, I believe.
So you haven't had less than 10 years now, so you're saying you haven't mastered it then?
No, I think I learn more new things every time I have a meeting.
And I would echo that 100%.
Yeah.
Because there's not a week that goes by that I don't learn another thing, not only about network marketing, but also about this incredible company. And regardless of how long or how short we are with the company, we're always learning more, and that's the part about discovering what, not only what NECAN, but what we can do to make a difference, because our culture, our world, kind of has a different mindset. And exactly what you, your story, that you set out, you go to school, you go to get educated, and then you enter into a profession, and it's a little different. Usually it involves the world taking from us and us never really being able to get back other than a paycheck. But as you are the perfect example, that you literally were giving your life physically, and it almost cost you your life. And
yes.
Then things turned around. Is there things that you're doing today to introduce people to NECAN, to grow your business, to... And I know the answer to this question, because I get to see firsthand some of the things you're doing, and it's not, I don't want to spoil the surprise, but it's not really what we call rocket science, some simple things that you're doing, but what are some of those things that you're using to introduce NECAN to people and to get things going?
Well, I try to personally introduce NECAN as the whole concept of NECAN to the people I meet every week. And I always try to have personal meetings every week to introduce it. And of course, the product is a big part of the experience. But I also would emphasize that we have a great teamwork, and I have a great team, and we have so much fun when we work together, when we meet and we have presentations. And I think the people, the guests, they notice that we're having fun. We're laughing, and we are sharing good stories, and we are doing the tests and showing them how much energy you can get. And we are also trying to show them that they can have a completely different lifestyle, taking control over their life, taking ownership of their own life, not only their own health, but also their life. And I can say that most of the guests that we have, almost everybody's interested in one way or another. It may be one product, it may be the whole wellness home, or it might be even working with NECAN. So we're having fun, and I think that's the key to success in this business, to having fun, to show them the whole picture, and to build a great team, and to have wonderful people around me.
Yeah, and you do, because your your team, I mean, I still have, and I'm still finding myself here several weeks later, sharing with Stacy and the girls, oh man, I can't wait till you meet so and so, and because, and I, your team was just an amazing group of people, and as you said, Barb Satterwhite mentioned this last week, and she said, you know, that was one of the most important things. Keep it fun, because if it's not, because I, you know, I can't help but think back during your time in Stockholm.
Yeah.
There might have been elements of fun, but looking back at the whole thing, was it really as fun as what you're doing now with Nikan?
No. You can't compare it. No. It was more of a struggle. I mean, I can say that Nikan is not always easy. I mean, we need people that are, they are skeptic and they maybe won't believe everything we say and so on. And maybe we have to do that little extra to introduce the people. But when you find the right people, it's very easy. It's very simple. Because they will sort of discover everything by themselves. And starting asking the right questions and gaining information and so on. And I believe that those are the leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the leaders we are looking for, of course.
Mm-hmm. And in a country of, 9 million people?
9 million, yes, that's correct.
You haven't saturated. I mean, it's not not everybody knows about Nikan, and you're still building. And yet, what is it? Nikan's been in Sweden now for 13 years.
Yes, in 1996 was the first year Tommy Dahlgren and his wife brought Nikan to Sweden in 1996. So, no, I would say 2% of the Swedish people know about Nikan, so we have a lot of work to do.
Do you find that the Swedish people are more open to complementary or to alternative ways of treating the body? Is there still the skepticism that, you know, I don't know about that, that looks kind of funny?
Isn't it always that we say that people, we always say it, it's very easy in Germany or in Norway or in the United States because people are very open-minded. Isn't that what we say?
Mm-hmm.
But Swedish people are very skeptic. But I would say that some people are very, very skeptic and they stick to the traditional doctors and medicine and so on. But there's also a big group of people that is discovering what the companies are doing to our food, for example.
Right.
What is the food we buy in the shops? What does it contain? So people are getting more and more aware. So I think that will be our. It's an opportunity for us to show what Nikan has when it comes to nutrition, and people are also discussing sleeping problems in a way that they didn't do even 9 years ago when I had a problem. It was more go to the doctor and get a pill and then you get some sleep. But today people are more aware that they can do other things to get better sleep, for example. So I think they're getting more and more open.
Yeah. So it's a part of the cultural change, and I know that in North America we're seeing the same thing, that more and more people, because of well, there's just too many downsides to conventional medicine, whether, you know, it's socialized, you know, healthcare where, you know, everybody gets a turn and it's all paid for by the government, or whether you're, you know, paying through, you know, your own type of insurance or whatever the case may be. People are starting to see, hey, you know, if we get away from healthcare and move over to self-care, we can make a transition. And that is—it's huge, and we have the opportunity to do that. So, Anna, I'm curious. One last question: is there one thing that, literally, for you, in getting up every day and in realizing what Nikan has given you, is there one thing that, as you mentioned earlier, in your process of recovery, that you're listening to tapes and trying to get inspired? What is the one thing that that inspires you today to keep sharing your story, to keep sharing what Nikan has to offer people?
I love to inspire people to taking ownership of their life and their health, because I didn't have a life and I didn't have my health. So I think that's the most important. If you don't have your health, then you have nothing. And more people are discovering. I mean, I will be 45 this summer, so I turned 40, and I'm very grateful for that. But when my friends around me, they're also getting 40, 45, 50 now. I mean, the health problems, they discover that they get some problems, and in our family and the other Nican people, my group, we don't have those problems. We're never sick, and we feel good, and if we want some more energy, we know where to get it. So we would try to show them that you can actually do something for yourself, and I think that's the most important thing, that we have the responsibility, and we can also do something. But before Nican, I didn't know what to do, what can I use, what can I implement in my life that will help me. But now I know, I feel confident, and I feel safe in a way, that even though I know things can happen, we have something that will make us feel better.
Mm-hmm. No, exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's what I was hoping you'd say.
Yeah, of course. And also that I always say that it's never too late. I mean, you can be 4 years like my daughter, or you can be 76 like my mother, and you can start feeling better wherever you are in life. You can even be 40 or 50 or 60. You can always get better health, and you can get a better life, and that's what I love about the condition. It never ends. You can always expand it, and you can get more and more and more of everything.
Mm-hmm. And it's not just physically, it's financially, emotionally, spiritually, and that's truly, and what you're saying, it truly epitomizes the aspect of what the five pillars of health is all about, that we can. And it's not about taking, it's about just gleaning from what the opportunity, what Nican is, and being able to share that with other people. And I think that's something that we need to remember, is as we discover this great company, the real discovery and the real fun, and it's something that you couldn't do with what you were doing in Stockholm and working, the great fun of it is being able to introduce it to other people.
Yeah.
And seeing the transition in their lives, and we see it time and time and time again. And I had a testimony that I wanted to share, and I left it on my desk. But it's a card I just received in the mail this last week, and just life-altering things, even the small things. And yours was a major life story change, and I appreciate you sharing that. And I want to thank you, and I thank Frederick and Ellen for sharing you in the middle of the afternoon. There's lots of other things you could be doing.
No, there isn't. This was the thing I wanted to do.
Well, please.
And also, I just want to say one more thing, because
yes.
I'm very fortunate to have my old friends, but I've known them for over 20 years, and they joined Nican a couple of years ago, and I get emails and SMS text messages from them saying, thank you, Anna, for introducing us to this business. They're so grateful. We're having a wonderful life today. And their children keep telling their parents that their life is so much better. And, I mean, you can imagine what I feel when I get these messages coming in.
Oh, absolutely. Because you get to understand that you played a little small part in that.
Yes, and it turned their life around as well. So let's do some more.
Hey, I'm all for it. I am all for it. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, again, Anna, thank you for being our guest today. I know that I've taken some notes, and I know that your story, because I got to hear it before a few weeks ago, but I know it's been inspiring to everyone who's tuned in today. And just as a reminder, if you have somebody that you think, man, I wish they could have been on the call live, I know that what Anna shared would have been inspirational to them. Well, it's okay, because if you simply go to www.growingandwellness.com, you can hear portions of this interview or pick up a copy of the CD for $5. It's cheap, and it's very professionally done with track settings, and you can have your friends and people know that you know that would relate to what Anna shared, just the whole thing. Again, that's www.growingandwellness.com. And if you want to tune in, if you're listening to this via the CD and you've never been able to join us live, the phone number, every Saturday morning at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, the phone number is area code 319-279-1000, and the code to punch in is 62862#. And we'd love to have you join us live. And on that note, I'm going to say ciao, adios, and tuck to attack. I kept working on yawn shipping, and just knowing the city where I spent most of the time, that way if I got lost, I'd know how to get back to where my hotel was. And I missed all the other words. But thank you so much, Anna.
No, thank you, and it was so lovely to be on the call, and we enjoyed having you here, and we welcome the rest of the American people. If they want to join us, they're also welcome.
Well, there you go. So there's the invitation group. You got a place, you got some hosts, and I'll tell you, you'll never be treated more like royalty than...
Oh!
I never slept better, I never ate better than when I was with our family there in Sweden, and it made a mark. So I'm looking forward to the 2010 convention, where you'll get to, those of you listening will get to meet some of the Swedish family, and really not the royal Swedish family, of course, but our new family.
Of course.
you can study up and learn about that. But again, thank you. And to everybody listening, we look forward to chatting again next week, same time, same number. And until then, have a wonderful weekend, and thank you, Anna, again. And please give our love to Friedrich and Ellen, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yes, you do the same. Bye. To your family.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.